We're back to episode 110 of the Woman of Marvel podcast, where we assemble to chat all things Marvel and more. This is Judy Stevens, producer. We are celebrating the work of Jack Kirby this week on Marvel.com with Kirby Week, and thus, we're incredibly honored to talk to Jack Kirby's granddaughter, Jillian Kirby, who helped create the Kirby for Heroes campaign to help comic book creators. Join us as we welcome Jillian to the podcast. Yeah, it's on your hands, we got nothing to
prove. Hello, and welcome to the Women of Marvel podcast, where the women of Marvel assemble to talk all things Marvel and more. I'm Sana Amana, Director of Content and Character Development, and I am solo today. Judy Stevens has abandoned me. I think she's off on some cosplay adventure. But we've got a really special guest today that I'm really excited to have joining us, Jillian Kirby, who is the granddaughter of the legendary Jack Kirby. And for those of you who have never heard of him, I'm sure you've been, that means you've probably been under a rock for some years. Jack Kirby is one of Marvel's most prolific, most really famous artists. He's responsible of creating our biggest heroes and characters, from Captain America to the Fantastic Four to Thor, to just to name a few. So, in honor of his 99th birthday on August 28th, we are celebrating his accomplishments this week. And I would say specifically the fact that he's the grandfather of such a young, talented lady like Jillian herself. So with that, Jillian, welcome to the Women of Marvel podcast.
Hi, Sana. Great to be here.
Yeah, so you come, first of all, you come from a really amazing, incredible legacy, and you are also doing a lot of things to uphold that legacy, namely running a charitable organization. And mind you, for you listeners out there, Jillian, is you're still a senior in college, right?
Yes, going into my senior year.
Oh, my God. And yet you've been running this organization for how long now?
I founded the Kirby for Heroes campaign in 2012. So this is its in fifth year. And when I founded it, it was in honor of what would have been my grandfather's 95th birthday back in 2012.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about what your intention is and what the program is all about.
So the Kirby for Heroes campaign is basically a way to raise money for the charity, the Hero Initiative. And what the Hero Initiative does is it takes the money that is raised and it gives back to people in the comic book industry in need of medical and financial aid. So basically when I originally founded the campaign, Kirby for Heroes, I wanted to do something to honor my grandfather's legacy and really do something that I think he would personally support. And definitely giving back to those in the comic book industry that have, like, given us, like, the readers, like, so much enjoyment over the years is something that I think he would really be proud of, and he would definitely support the Hero Initiative and all of its, like, charitable work today. So yeah, it's in its fifth year right now. So far, we've raised over $50,000 for the Hero Initiative, and we're looking to raise, and this year, this summer, we're looking to raise, $25,000. Hopefully we can do that. And, yeah, so basically there's, when I originally started out in 2012, kind of started pretty small, I reached out to comic book retailers, primarily in California, where I'm from, and basically on August 28th, that year, it would have been my grandfather's 95th birthday, many of these retailers donated a percentage of their profits for that day to the Hero Initiative, and some stores also had kind of like art auctions and other kind of birthday events to raise money, and then as well as kind of individual donations that came in. Mm-hmm. And just every year we've kind of expanded it. We've gotten retailers nationwide, and we've gotten some from like other countries like France, Argentina, Brazil, and to participate, like, and every year just keeps growing, and we've like raised kind of more and more money every year, which is, I think it's amazing. And I'm just, I'm really happy with how it's progressed so far, and it's like truly just incredible, and definitely something I think that has brought me personally closer to my grandfather, since he passed away the year before I was born. Yeah. So I never got a chance to know him personally. So,
which is fantastic. I mean, where did this idea come from for you? I mean, you were, 16 when you started it. So what was your thought process to be like, you know, as it is, like, high school's hard enough, right? And you're trying to get into college, and you're like, hey, I'm actually just going to run this organization at the same time. What was that like?
Well, I know, and, like, growing up, I always had, we had some Kirby art around the house. I know in third grade we had kind of like this project where it's like, oh, we have to like pick a hero, write a report on them, do a presentation, and I ended up picking my grandfather and like writing about his artwork and his accomplishments in the comic book industry. And so he's always been kind of like definitely like a big presence in our house too. And I wanted to I had found out about the Hero Initiative when I was just kind of researching, okay, are there like charities in the comic book industry that give back? Because I thought that would be the best way to do something to like really connect with my grandfather, because he was always big into charity and trying to give back to others and was always very generous. So I thought doing something of that nature would be, yeah, it's a great way to connect with him. And I found the Hero Initiative, which is pretty unique. It's one of the only charities like that, specifically for the comic book industry. I think another in the comic book industry is like the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. But I chose the Hero Initiative, and I really think it's done a lot in the past few years to really raise money and do what we can to give back to the comic book industry. And the outpouring of support really from people that knew my grandfather personally and really want to also give back and support the charity has been amazing. And I just wanted to kind of connect with my grandfather more and actually kind of do something instead of just like passively appreciating his artwork and what he's done. You know, I wanted to do something kind of active and like really show that like we can like give back to people like him that gave us all of these wonderful creations and artwork over the years.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems like, you know, it's really important for you to work with the comics artists and creators that are really, I think, following in the footsteps. A lot of them have followed in the footsteps of what your grandfather created, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think that really says about, I mean, this organization says about his legacy? Like, what is your intention there?
Well, I know back in the day, like, some thought, like, the comic books, like, they wouldn't last. Like, they wouldn't continue on to, like, the present day. And, like, I'm sure, I think my grandfather was a big part of that with more of, like, the superhero creations, too. And then, and it's just inspired so many other artists and creators, especially like since my grandfather's creations like continue today, and like new comics, and they're still coming out, and they're still kind of creating and evolving and changing with the times as well, which I think is amazing. And you see, there's part of the Kirby for Heroes campaign is the Wake Up and Draw event, which also occurs on August 28th of every year. And that is when comic book artists, they kind of wake up on my grandfather's birthday and then draw a piece of art that they're inspired by him and his creations. And then that's auctioned off to raise money for the Hero Initiative. And I know last year alone we had over 100 artists participate in this, and I've like heard back from so many of them that, and seen so many of their drawings that are either like my grandfather's characters or just like other characters, but they're like, oh, we're doing it in Jack Kirby style or something. So there's like so much of his influence, I think, has really lasted and prevailed to like artists today, which I think is just incredible.
Oh yeah, people have definitely taken in his artistic philosophy, and you know, there's a lot of design techniques, like, you know, Kirby Crackle, for example,
mm-hmm.
that people
yeah.
still use, which is really incredible to have that kind of influence on creators mm-hmm. like what 50 years later. But so, I mean, in terms of this auction itself, it's coming out. It's on August 28th is Wake Up and Draw. Mm-hmm. But where can people find information on the auction itself if they want to grab some of these art pieces?
Information on the auction, it should be on the Hero Initiative website. Also, I run a Kirby for Heroes campaign Facebook page, which you can find me at. I normally do daily artwork postings or personal pictures of my grandfather, and also updates about the campaign and the Wake Up and Draw auction. Once we have all the details about the auction, should be both on the Facebook page and the Hero Initiative website, all the links to like the auction site and where people can go to get some of this artwork will all be on there. I also run a Kirby for Heroes Twitter, so you can find me on there as well.
So, well, I know a lot of people listening right now are probably very curious about, you know, the Kirby, obviously the Kirby legacy, but also, you know, you guys are essentially comic book royalty to an extent. So, what was it like growing up Kirby? Did you just try to like ignore it, and you're like, Dad, okay, I don't need to hear stories anymore? You know, were you fascinated by it? Like, what was that like for you?
Yeah, I had heard so many stories from my dad too. We still have the original drawing board and tabaret that my grandfather used.
Wow, that's cool too.
So that's been definitely a big present, and I've heard definitely a lot of stories. I guess when I was younger, I didn't originally kind of grasp, but kind of like how big of a deal this really was. And then as I like got older and like appreciated, I was like, wow, like this is huge. Like, he did so much. And definitely have like some pieces that I've like just seen. It's just like casual. It's just like, oh, Dad, this is what my grandpa did. Like, kind of just like that was his job. But really, it was just, he always really tried to put his family first and do what he could to have his family like have the best life that they could, especially with trying to support them. And I think, yeah, my dad told me a lot of stories, and I know a lot of, I think, my grandfather's life and his younger years, some of the comics were certainly like inspired by that. I know I've heard that my grandfather, when he was much younger, he was a very short, very scrawny kid. And then my great uncle Dave, my grandfather's brother, who was a few years younger than my grandfather, but definitely a lot taller. So in their younger years, my grandfather was actually always protected his brother Dave, his super tall brother Dave, because mm-hmm. he was younger, like on the streets, and was being really kind of like scrappy, like street fights. And that was almost like Captain America before the serum, like
yeah.
the original Steve Rogers, you know?
And Bucky.
I can do this all day. Yeah,
that's the original Steve and Bucky. That's adorable. I did not know that. That's such a great story.
That is cool. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of things that you can see. And then and his like kind of experiences in the war as well, kind of reflected in like Boy Commandos and other of the comics. And there's just been so much growing up that I've heard. Like, I know I unfortunately did not get any of my grandfather's kind of artistic talent. I'm more of the math and science and technical person, but like luckily, another thing I also did not inherit from my grandfather was his driving skills, because his brain was always so like filled with like ideas and creating that everyone was like scared when he was driving. Like, he didn't pay, like, he literally drove up on the curb at one point when trying to pick my dad up from school.
Oh,
and my dad was like, okay, should I hide? Should I walk home in the rain? Like, oh, my dad's on the curb in front of my school. I don't know what to do.
That's like a different level of embarrassment.
Yeah.
It's like
luckily,
I'm embarrassed and scared for my life.
Yeah. Luckily, I did not, I can drive pretty well, I would say. But
good, I
he was definitely kind of in his creative process, always, and all aspects of his life, basically.
Well, you know, let's talk a little bit actually about you and how, yeah, you might not have his artistic skills, but you are going into a field that is also not very, I guess, common for young women to go into, which is biomedical engineering, which I think is super awesome. So, I mean, tell us a little bit about that, what your goals are, what you're hoping to do, you know, how you're such a big science nerd, how that happened.
Well, yeah, I'm a biomedical engineering major. I'm entering my senior year of college right now. I think definitely my dad, he was a science teacher too, so he definitely imparted kind of the science gene on me, and the math gene, no one knows where that came from, so somehow ended up with that. But I think when I was younger, I definitely was inspired in part by some of my grandfather's creations in terms of, like, the technical stuff. And you see kind of a lot of biomedical engineering aspects in his works, like Iron Man's, like, artificial heart and the serum used to make Steve Rogers' Captain America. That's, like, kind of almost genetic engineering. And then there's, like, Bucky's, like, artificial arm. And then there's so much. And just even with engineering, like, the S.H.I.E.L.D. helicarrier, like, how did that stay in the sky? Who knows? Like, right. That's all just came from his imagination. And for me, in biomedical engineering, in, like, STEM fields in general, there's definitely still kind of, like, want to get more women interested in the field. And a big part of that is trying to reach out to, like, younger women, especially, like, okay, elementary school, middle school, high school level, like, before they get into college, to, like, show that, yes, there are, like, women in the field. This is definitely something you can do, even though it is similarly kind of like a male-dominated field right now. But right. There's definitely a lot of outreach that I have done as part of at the Society of Women Engineers chapter at my university. And we go to, like, have middle school outreach days and Girl Scout outreach days. And we have high schoolers come to our school, and we do all these fun, like, science activities with them, and it's really inspiring to, like, see how much fun they're having, and to, like, really teach them about kind of their different career paths and how they can kind of apply their interest in science and math into their future careers. And last summer, yeah, I when Ant-Man was released, Marvel had the big Ant-Man Microtech Challenge for, like, these high school girls that were interested in STEM fields, and there was these five girls won the challenge. They all did these, like, fantastic projects with, like, kind of computer programming and robotics and, like, all these, like, amazing stuff that I would never have been able to do at that age. Like, I still probably not even at their level. They're, like, geniuses, gonna do great things. But I was their kind of STEM education mentor, so I kind of talked to them about, like, college and future career paths and what they could do, and I just thought that was just amazing. They're like, they were inspiring to me. Like, I was like, wow, this is such a great, like, advancement. They got the funds to like teach go back to their schools and build programs and teach other people how they could do the projects that they did, which I think is just awesome. And outreach is really important with women in STEM fields as well.
Yeah, and, you know, and that's something that obviously, like, we very strongly believe on the Women of Marvel podcast, is that so much of encouraging women to come into, you know, very non-traditional fields for them is just creating that network and that sense of outreach and community to encourage really, like, what natural skill sets that they might have or their natural inclinations. And I think that for us has worked, at least to encourage a lot more, you know, female readers and female Marvel fans, which has increased so much in the 5 years. So I think that's really awesome. I mean, we have to find a way to get you to start consulting on our comics. That means give us some real science that we can make into fake science.
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing. I would. There's an opportunity, I would do it. My science knowledge is still growing, still needs to finish up college.
Yeah, we'll get there. You will, obviously, you're in the Marvel family, so, you know, any times you want to do some commentary, you're more than welcome to. You should actually check out our Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur series, which is this young 9-year-old girl who is a certified genius. She's actually now the smartest woman in the Marvel Universe. Officially. Or actually, smartest person, I should say, in the Marvel Universe. it's such a great adventure, but it's really about encouraging future female scientists. So I think you might be into that.
No, yeah, I think that's amazing, especially I think my grandfather worked on the original, like, Devil Dinosaur,
yes.
Like, Moon Boy, like, back in the day, too,
yes.
And, like, I definitely love how, like, some of his original kind of creations and concepts have, like, evolved over time and really become, I think, like, representative, like, of the world we live in. Like, yes, like, women are smart, and they're in, like, science fields and tech fields, too, and, like,
yeah.
That's, like, really important, especially with the new, like, Iron Man and then Moon Girl and, like, everything. I think it's really amazing.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, well, speaking of, you know, comics and where your grandfather's, you know, his beginning run, his foray into, like, Captain America and whatnot, what were you drawn to growing up? Is there any series, any characters that you sort of love the most?
Yeah, I always was a big fan of Captain America too growing up, and that's always been kind of like a family favorite as well. And I again was drawn to Thor because of the artistry involved, and I really liked kind of space and like kind of like those adventures as well, and the way, like you mentioned, the Kirby Crackle techniques as well, that was really prevalent in like Thor, and then a lot of the technology too. I know I thought, because Thor, I was really into kind of mythology, too, and my dad has mentioned that Thor is kind of a combination of how, like Norse gods, like that mythology, but, like, almost like they were acting as, like, medieval knights with, like, kind of the honor and all of, like, those kind of qualities. And I thought that was really cool because I was big into, like, fantasy and sci-fi and everything, too. And, yeah, and I've always liked the Fantastic Four as well, like, And my grandfather, actually, Susan Storm, now is kind of named after my Aunt Susan as well. So there's a big connection there. But I've always liked the stories involved with that. And definitely, it's really fun to have a lot of the villains, actually, that he was created to, like Dr. Doom and Submariner, I've always loved as well.
Well, this honestly has been, like, such an interesting conversation. And I know that you also want to remind readers and remind listeners as to where they can go if they want to donate to your organization and where they can find you. So where's that?
So to donate to the Hero Initiative, you can go on the Hero Initiative website under their donate tab, and you can write Kirby for Heroes where it asks for special instructions. I'll also be posting more details on my Facebook page. And there's also a Kirby for Heroes website, just kirbyforheroes.com, where we have kind of basically it's the home. It has all the links to the different social media and like kind of articles and like who's participating and how to donate there as well. So those are kind of our main avenues, and you can find us there. And definitely looking forward to strong show of support on my grandfather's 99th birthday this August 28th. And I'm just looking forward to doing all we can this year to raise money for the Hero Initiative. The goal is $25,000. Hope we can do that. We've surpassed our goal of $20,000 last year, so this year's 25. Keep up in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure grandfather would be pretty proud of you right now, and you've inherited some of his great qualities.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot.
Yeah, no, definitely. And, of course, you're always welcome back to the Women of Marvel podcast, and hopefully future fake science consultant for comics.
Career path, yes.
It all comes together. I would love it. All right, Jillian, well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a true pleasure, and hopefully all of you out there will donate to this incredibly important organization. And, of course, a happy 99th birthday to the great Jack Kirby. Thanks, guys. We will check you later. This is Marvel, your universe. We are, we are, we are, we are.
Swing over to marvel.com/Kirby Week for more, including digital comics, stories, and galleries. Thanks again for tuning in. As always, please send us questions or suggestions to womenof@marvel.com or tweet at Marvel with #womenofmarvel. Tune in next week as we return to the Voices of Marvel segment with Kelly Thompson. Also, if you're heading to Dragon Con this weekend, look for me as I'll be wandering around taking photos. We'll check you guys later. This is Marvel, your universe. The women of Marvel. We are the women.